Feast of Purim, which we're celebrating today, has been, through biblical times today, a great time of joy. And we see in synagogues and temples around the world that there's Purim spiels, there's plays being held, there's Queen Esther contests, there's the scroll of Esther is read. We make noise with the groggers. And adults even write the name of Haman on the bottom of their shoe. And the reason we write that name on the bottom of our shoe is so we can stamp it out. Stamp out that name of that person, which I won't mention. Okay? But you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19, it says that you shall blot out, or you shall stamp out that name of Amalek from under the heavens. Do not forget. And it turns out that Haman, just happened to be a descendant of Amalek, the king of the Amaleks, Israel's ancient enemy. So everyone boos and hisses when they hear that name of what? Boo! And everyone cheers when they hear that name, Hadassah or Esther and Mordechai. Yay! And some people, we see in Israel, they send gifts to one another and they give charity to the poor on this day. And that's known as Mishlochach Menot, and it's taken from Esther 9:22, where it says, Mordechai wrote to observe these days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. And on Purim, everyone notches on, or they eat the traditional three-cornered fruit-filled pastry called the Hamantaschen. Yay! Now, this is very important here. I've got some bad news. I got some real bad news. You know, poppy seed is my very favorite flavor in Hamantaschen. And Donnie and Linda could not find it at the store anywhere. My wife could not find it at the store anywhere. Did anyone make poppy seed Hamantaschen? Well, nevertheless, I'll still eat some of them, even with apricot and other stuff. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, Iranian Jews and Mountain Jews considered themselves to be descendants of Queen Esther. And on Purim, do you know that Iranian Jews visit the tombs of Esther and Mordechai in Hamadan? Did you know that? Hamadan. Yet behind, boy, this is kind of, I think my ear, I have hard of hearing in this ear, and all of a sudden, I don't hear anything out of this ear, and I say, oh no, my ear again. But it's the speaker. Okay. But behind all the feasting that we do and all the merriment, there's a very somber message here. We see the near destruction of the Jewish people. And Purim reminds us that Jewish survival often hangs by a thread of circumstance. But we know that the matter is in the hand of God. Throughout the ages, God has steadfastly maintained a believing remnant, Shirit Yisrael, of his people to be the oracles and the depositories of his holy scriptures, and that they were to be a light and a witness of his love and faithfulness to all the nations of the world. You know, Purim is really classified as one of the minor feasts. But that's not the assessment of ancient rabbis. Many believe that the book of Esther was intended to illustrate. Yay! This book, without a name, that we have a name, was intended to illustrate that God is at work behind the scenes, controlling and manipulating all the actions and all the events. And more than one rabbi compared Purim even to the feast or the festival of Yom Kippur. And they see it as an example of Kiddush Hashem, or sanctification of the name, where individual Jewish people are willing to die rather than to forsake their faith in God. You know, the preservation of the Jewish people under severe hardship and genocidal threats is a theme that's woven throughout all of Jewish history. At Purim, Haman he's seen as a metaphor of evil, just like Pharaoh was evil, just like this gentleman over here. Boo! And on Antiochus Epiphanes during Hanukkah with Judah Maccabee, well, Judah, we can say yay. Yay, Judah! Okay. And Haman is just like the modern day Adolf Hitler was. In fact, in 1944, Hitler actually said that if the Nazis were defeated, that the Jewish people could celebrate a second triumphant Purim. And thank you, Lord, that the Jewish people are here today to be able to celebrate another triumphant Purim, and God's enemies were defeated and destroyed. Thank you, Lord. On Purim in 1942, there were two Jewish people who were hung to avenge the hanging of Haman's 10 sons by the Nazis. In a similar incident in 1943, the Nazis shot 10 Jews. And on Purim Eve that same year, over 100 Jewish doctors and their families were shot by the Nazis in Czechoslovakia. And the following day, Jewish doctors were taken from Radom and shot nearby. And in an apparent connection by Hitler between his Nazi regime and the role of Haman, he stated on a speech on January 30, 1944, again, that if the Nazis were defeated, the Jews would celebrate a second Purim. Indeed, Julius Strecker was heard to sarcastically remark as he was going to be hung during the Nuremberg trials for war crimes. As he's being hung, he cried out, "Purim Fest, 1946. Because they realized God's hand was in all of this. And Purim affirms the biblical truth from Genesis 12:3 that I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. We see that so clear in the book of Esther. We see that Haman's life reflects this truth more clearly than perhaps any other biblical character. You know, with the rise of anti-Semitism all around the world today, and with Jew haters like Iran's religious leaders, which we even saw in the video earlier, who threatened to destroy Israel with nuclear holocaust, true believers, that means all of us in this room today, need to be willing to stand by the Jewish people in the state of Israel. We must be willing to use our positions of power for such a time as this, as written in Esther 4:14. Believers must be willing to stand against those who paint swastikas on synagogue walls, threaten Jewish community centers, destroy Jewish cemeteries, and form hate groups to persecute the Jewish people. We must stand against that. A principle from Esther is that people are given positions so that they can do something for God. But like Esther, they may need to risk rejection and persecution and possibly even death to stand for God and His people. And are you, and I'm asking all of you in this room today, are you willing to risk everything to stand for God and His people? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to risk everything, even death possibly, to see the people of God protected and loved? God is asking, are you willing to do that? God may put you in such a position for such a time as this to show your true character. And are we ready to do the will of God if need be? Purim reminds us of God's faithfulness and triumph of the righteous victim over the evil oppressor. Some see the meaning of Purim only in terms of good deeds overpowering all the Hamans of this world. Yet reality tells us that despite our many good and noble efforts to work within all the social and political frameworks, there's just too many evil Hamans out there for all the Esthers and Mordecais in this world to handle. There's so much evil in this world today. The only way to rebuild the world is for it to be turned upside down once again. Then finally, it will be right side up once more. Now Yeshua, that innocent Lamb of God, willingly took the place of all the guilty. And the weight of such a sacrifice was enough to swing the world back right side up to an upright position where people can face God and ask forgiveness. And instead of an evil Haman hanging from that wooden gallows, instead of that evil man hanging from that wooden gallows, now I'm going to say right now that name that's above every name. And I want to hear the biggest hoop and hollering of all time. Okay? Instead of that evil person hanging from the wooden gallows, Yeshua! Yay! Yeshua! Yay! Yeshua! Yay! Yeshua, that innocent Lamb of God, hung on a wooden gallows. And He made that sacrifice once and for all as He hung upon that tree. And though He was hung on the tree, His name was not blotted out. And His name was not cursed. It has become that name that brings life and salvation. That name that is above every other name before which someday all will, in the Hebrew Elenu prayer, say, bend the knee and bow down before that name. This Purim, as Jewish people follow the tradition and blot out that name of Amalek and blot out that name of Haman and all their kind, may our Jewish people also consider the claims of Yeshua, whose very name means salvation. He offers life and He offers peace to all, both Jews and Gentiles, who trust in His name. And all who follow Him according to the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, will have their own names inscribed in the Book of Life where they can never be blotted out. In the Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out His name from the Book of Life, but will acknowledge His name before my Father and His angels. And also in the book of Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 22, it says, And I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need a sun or a moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, there's people who ask, did Yeshua ever celebrate Purim? Have you ever thought, did Yeshua ever celebrate this? This was a feast during the time of Yeshua. It's written in the book of John, chapter 5, that Yeshua was in Jerusalem for an unnamed feast. But scholars have questioned, what was this unnamed feast in John 5? Some have rejected the idea that it was Purim, because Purim was considered a minor feast and not one of the Shalosh Regolim, or the three pilgrimage festivals. However, we know that Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah in John chapter 10, verse 22, which is also considered a minor feast. And according to modern research on this question, chronologically, if you look at the life of Yeshua and his ministry, and you look at the dates chronologically, the only feast that John could be referring to in John chapter 5 is Purim, since it is said to have fallen on Shabbat in John 5:9. But the only feast that occurred on Shabbat between the years 25 and 28 BC was in fact Purim. And in the year 28 CE, Purim fell on the Shabbat. But why was it referred to as an unnamed feast? Why an unnamed feast? Perhaps the Spirit of God intentionally left off that name of the feast because the name of the Lord was likewise deliberately left out of the book of Esther. Sometimes God's ways and God's purposes are hidden from us, but in the end, we see God's presence everywhere. Thank you, Lord. And may you see God's presence in everywhere of your life. And I think sometimes when we're going through things and we don't see that God is with us and we don't understand why things are happening and we're going through all sorts of things and you're looking for answers, I recommend you read the book of Esther. Because in Esther, you see that God is working very clearly, very evidently behind the scenes. And even when you don't feel God sometimes, God is working there behind the scenes. And He's orchestrating every event and everything taking place in your life. And I think it's encouraging for you to understand that and know that. And I encourage you this day, tomorrow, next few days, read the book of Esther and see and understand, why is God not mentioned there? Because God's trying to teach us and show us that His presence and His workings and His dealing is there in our lives at all times, especially when we don't see Him. It's just like that poem, Footprints in the Sand, where it talks about, you know, Lord, why weren't you with me during all these difficult times? Why is there only one set of footprints instead of two? It's because the Lord was carrying you during the time, and that's His footprints in the sand. So when you're going through those times, it's the Lord who's carrying you. It's the Lord who's working behind the scenes. It's the Lord who's taking care of all the details and all the circumstances and situations. And be encouraged, because God loves you so much that He sent His Son Yeshua to be there for you always and to give you eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that your word encourages each one of us to go on, even then when we don't necessarily see you and even when we don't feel you, Lord. We know that you're there, loving us through the midst of it all. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. We're going to close with A Wicked, Wicked Man, one of my favorite songs. So I'm going to need someone to operate the PowerPoint over there. Elton, you know how to do it?